Karin Dambrauer.
I always liked images. I just ran into radiology, and then I started, and a new world was open to me. But I also like the clinic. I like to speak to patients, and I like to do the interventions. And being a breast radiologist, you have all parts.
Pain is some serious business. It ain't everyone who knows what to do about it. Now I hear there's a podcast just about this. It doesn't talk of pain alone, but other interesting things distracting the mind from it. So I suggest you tune in to Outsmart the Pain and listen to what Karsten has to say about it. Get ahead. Get it done. Listen to the podcast and maybe change your life or someone else's.
So first of all, welcome back to everyone who has listened to my pod. It has been quite a while since I produced a new season, but I've been working clinically. Therefore, I have not done this. So I don't have a particularly bad conscience, to be truthful. But we start off with a rocket, really, because here at the table, I have Karin Dambrauer. She is a physician at the hospital Capio St. Göran's Hospital in Stockholm, Sweden. She works with breast cancer, and her clinic has implemented the famous AI. I remember first time I read it, I read Al. Who is Al? Who is doing what? But artificial intelligence. But first of all, Karin, you are so warmly welcome.
Thank you so much.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, what you're doing clinically.
I work as a breast radiologist at the mammography department at the hospital. And we work mainly with breast cancer screening, but also with clinical patients. And I defended my thesis in April last year, and the title of it was Deep Learning in Breast Cancer Screening.
Learning in breast cancer, okay.
Yes. So, and it consisted of four retrospective studies. And very good results, and we could really see that AI can perform even better than a radiologist. We were curious how it worked in the real clinic. So that's why we conducted the study ScreenTrust CAD, and it's a prospective clinical study that was published in The Lancet in September this year.
Well, I think you said the whole episode there.
Yes.
So first, for everyone who is not very used to research, when you say retrospective, that means that you do not take a patient and follow them in the future, but
exactly.
You take the results and look back.
Look back.
Okay.
And prospective is the opposite. You follow a patient in the future. Yes.
And which type of patients did you look at backwards, so to speak?
Women in the screening population. And in Sweden, all women between 40 and 74 years old are invited for screening. And the screening program is based on age and gender, not on risk. And it hasn't changed for almost 30 years. So I think it's time for that too. But that's another discussion.
But that's very interesting.
Yes.
That we're actually just taking age and gender.
Yes,
and nothing
it's
else.
One size fits all.
Which it probably doesn't then.
No. But the screening program has been fantastic since it started. It has decreased the mortality rates with up to 40%, which is fantastic. But we have still challenges with the program. We have a quite large proportion of interval cancers, which are connected to higher morbidity and mortality. And we also have a huge lack of breast radiologists. In Sweden right now, there are only 71 breast radiologists, and 45 are lacking. Yes, so that's a fact.
But you are a woman who knows the figures. You are 71. That's a very precise number to know. When you say mortality, that is actually that you die?
Yes.
And morbidity is that you get a disease, that you're sick of the...
Yes, okay. You get symptoms.
I guess there is no debate whatsoever about screening. I mean, sometimes you hear it about prostate cancer and other diseases, but for breast cancer, there is no doubt that screening is good, right?
No, almost everybody thinks screening is really good. Yes.
And we do that in Sweden. What about the rest of the world? Do they also do screening?
Yes, and the rest of Europe are doing screening, but they start from 50 years, most of the countries. Mm-hmm. And also in the US and in Asia. Mm-hmm.
I talked to Henrik, who is an oncologist and professor, about prostate cancer. And he said that we don't actually know why people get prostate cancer, and we don't know why it's distributed the way it is around the world, and it hasn't changed. And a lot of research has been done, but we don't know.
We haven't been able to explain that and understand why that's the case. For other cancers, there's much more unified distribution. For other cancers, like liver cancer, for example, that's very common in the Asian countries due to hepatitis, but very uncommon here in Sweden.
Do you know anything about breast cancer? Are there any special risk factors or special regions in the world
Yes.
where it's common?
The age is a risk factor in itself, and the gender, of course.
Is it a certain age where you should be aware?
No, but the mean age for being diagnosed with breast cancer is 64 years old.
64 years.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there are, of course, more older women being diagnosed than younger. But there are also hereditary factors. You can have certain mutations, and also if you have breastfed your children, the risk is lower, and the more children you get, the lower the risk.
So in countries where there are many children in the family, are the breast cancer lower then?
I think it's not that easy.
It's not that easy. Ah,
yes.
I try to be easy here.
But the incidence is rising with 0.3% yearly.
Oh, so it gets more and more for every year.
And that must be lifestyle.
Lifestyle. Mm.
Yes. And we know that alcohol is connected to a higher proportion of breast cancer.
Okay. So older women, greater risk.
Yes.
If you have a mother who had breast cancer,
yes,
it's a greater because that's hereditary. And then maybe lifestyle, and that's like the Western lifestyle.
Yes.
Unhealthy food, or
we
do
we know?
We
don't know exactly, but it is rising.
Sometimes we talk about the diet and that it's better around the Mediterranean Sea.
Yes.
And do we see anything that there's less breast cancer?
No, not that I know.
What about developing countries, the care for breast cancer? Do you know if it's a large amount of people who have it and don't get treated, or is it much, much lower in those countries?
I think there are two factors. You don't have the same treatment, and you don't detect the cancers as well as we do, for example, here in Sweden.
Mm. So we have this mammography, and it's very good for the women. Does everyone accept to do this, or are the people... No?
No. And if we invite 100%, for example, at this hospital, we invite 80,000 women yearly, and around 75% are coming. It seems to be less people coming in from the big cities, and more people are coming in the north, for example.
So big cities, we do not actually come.
No.
Is it because we're too busy, or?
I think that's one fact, and also where less people are living, there are buses going around to small areas.
And pick
the
women,
them up. Yes.
Oh.
Know that now the bus is coming, so I have to go for my screening.
Wow. Okay. So actually, around 25% don't.
No.
Okay. And do they get another appointment, or what happens?
We recall them and give them another appointment.
Mm.
And then some come, but not too many.
And so around 75%, how many people do you say in Stockholm, for instance?
In Stockholm, it's like 250,000.
250,000 that
women are invited.
Invited, okay. And about 75% of them come.
Yes.
Okay. And how many have signs of cancer or have cancer? I don't even know what you tell them.
So we can have some key numbers. 75% are attending, and from those we are inviting for screening, we recall around 3%. Mm-hmm. And of the
3% of those,
the total number invited.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And around 0.5% are diagnosed with breast cancer. So around
from the total.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 5 per 1,000.
5 per 1,000. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there are mainly healthy women in the screening program.
Mm.
Yes.
But it's still, now this sounds very blunt, but it's still worth it if you understand. Yeah,
yes.
5 per 1,000, that's a very good equation.
Yes, mm. And we know that the mortality rates decreased with up to 40%.
Mm.
So that is fantastic.
Mm. And now you're a radiologist and not an oncologist,
no.
But still I understand that the treatment has, at least in the Western part of the world, has become so much better.
So much better, mm. Yes. So it's very nice to say to the women that are diagnosed that, well, this is bad news, but I want to say that it goes well for almost all women.
Mm, mm.
Yes.
And now that must be excellent news.
Yes.
Too bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. So you started off as a radiologist. Was this something you wanted to be, or was it just a pure chance?
It was a pure chance, yes, for almost everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I always liked images. Mm-hmm. I just ran into radiology and then I started and a new world was open to me. But I also liked the clinic. I liked to speak to patients and I liked to do the interventions. And being a breast radiologist, you have all parts. So you can look at images, you work together with colleagues, you're doing interventions. A lot of ultrasounds, a lot of biopsies, and you have your multidisciplinary conferences with colleagues. So I can say that I have my dream job.
Wow. Yeah. So this old view or picture that a radiologist is sitting in the basement where it's all dark and looking at some photo,
or
that's not true.
Totally wrong.
Totally wrong.
Yes.
You meet a lot of people and you do interventions. And intervention is treatment. Or is it examinations?
Examinations. With ultrasound and having like tissue biopsies or fine needle aspirations.
Mm. Mm,
so you work with your hands a lot. Mm.
And is all of this done here at this hospital? Or do you need to travel around?
No,
or?
No. No. We have 3 breast centers in Stockholm.
Mm.
It's here at St. Göran's Hospital, and then it's at Karolinska and at Södersjukhuset.
Mm.
And we're doing everything here. So we're doing mammography, we're doing ultrasound, we are doing CT scan, we are doing breast MRI and biopsies.
Mm.
So the woman is fully treated.
Wow, great hospital.
Yes.
Well, I work here too, so maybe, but I'm not paid to say this actually. It is a great hospital
and
people like you are doing it so much better
too. Yeah, yes, we try.
Good.
If you enjoy it.
Mm. Yeah, if you enjoy your work, you really want to make it better.
Yes.
Isn't it? Yeah. So, but we talked about artificial intelligence and now, I mean, that is a term that is almost, well, I wouldn't say misused, but people almost are getting tired of it because everyone is talking about it. And could you just briefly explain what AI is in your context? What does it do? What is it?
So AI is, it's like deep neural networks. This is complicated. I'm not the expert of it either. Mm. But in my field, we have algorithms.
Mm.
Which has different layers, and we put a lot of input data into the algorithm. And in my case, it's like image parameters and the woman's age. And then in the
so you give the AI a lot of pictures. Is that what you do?
Okay,
a lot of pictures. The training, okay.
Yes, and the training is crucial to get a good output from the algorithm. Mm. So and then all this input data is processed. And the algorithm is performing many, many calculations. And in the end, you get one output parameter. And that could be like a risk score. That could be a score for tumor signs in the image. That is very brief, but.
Okay, so you need to give it a lot of input so it learns. I was actually reading an article that was about Stephen King. One of my favorite authors, to be honest, but he said, to be a good writer, you need to be a good reader. And then he talked about how the AI had learned a lot by reading his books, for instance. So, I mean, they just pushing in millions of books, and then the AI learns how to speak with people. Yes. So you actually think it's a real human being.
Yes.
So this is kind of the same, that you put in a lot of images and then you have an AI that can work as a radiologist, so to speak.
Yes.
Okay.
So in Sweden, we've had this screening, population-based screening program since the 80s. So we have a lot of data, many, many images to train the algorithms. We also have the registers, which are almost complete in Sweden. So. And now when the technique came like 10 years ago with computers that can handle all big volume data, now it's possible to do this.
Wow. So you're a very clinical doctor since you meet patients.
Yes.
And then you started with research and now you have your PhD.
Yes.
But at the beginning, when you just started, did you think that, I want to do AI? Or did your mentor or whatever who said that, this is a great project, how in the world did you get into AI?
Yes, I remember the moment because I was working here at the hospital and I was doing an MRI lead biopsy, and there was another colleague in the room and we were talking a little bit about this and that, and he is a researcher. And I said, interesting. I've always been interested in research. Do you have any kind of project for me? And then he said, well, actually, I have a project. And it was on that way.
Wow. So the famous slip on a banana skull. Of course, you need a program that analyzes all this. So it's some kind of software, I guess. And how do you choose the right software? Is it a company or because you don't program, I guess?
It's a very good question and an important question too. Because right now there's a boom with AI and we have a lot of AI algorithms for different tasks. And of course, the commercial algorithms are saying that, look at our algorithm. It performs so well in this data set, so it's really good. Come and buy. And that is, you cannot do that because a very crucial thing is the validation of the algorithm, because you have to know how the algorithm works in the environment where it should work. So that's. Our study, Screen Trust CAD, is actually a large validation study of the algorithm working with Philips machines at Capri St. Göran's Hospital with our staff. So we can say how it works here, but I cannot say that our algorithm will work out well at Södersjukhuset, for example, because they have to validate
or in the UK or the US.
Or with a different vendor. And. So that is important. So now we're actually upgrading the algorithm. And the company, of course, says that, the new version is better, so you should use that. But we don't know if it works better at our place, so we will do a small validation study before the upgrade.
But that is so important, because when we talk research, we usually want these randomized double-blinded studies, and then people think that since it has an effect on a group level, it should work on the individual.
Yes.
And even if it would be like that, when you look at the sample, it could be like, this is churchgoers in a small village in the UK, but we're actually looking at someone working at a car dealership in Stockholm.
Yes.
It's not the same thing.
No.
So validation is so important.
Yes.
Very nice to hear that you are actually doing it on your stuff.
Yes, because this is so new also, so we have to be very careful how we use the data and that when we use it in the healthcare, and that we know that the products are validated and performs as good as we
so can. So now you know that it works well.
Yes.
So, but does it mean that if someone who lived in the jungle of the Amazonas and comes here to have, would it still work on her, or is it so different then? So it should actually be Swedes living in Stockholm?
No, it should work here, because breast tissue is quite similar for all women. And the algorithm is trained on three data sets from South Korea and from US and from UK. So there are different
So different it's diverse,
women.
So yeah.
Yes, it's diverse.
Very good. I don't know if it's a Swedish thing, but sometimes you hear that the welfare that is paid for by, you know, the taxpayer, we shouldn't really work together with the industry. And I think that, well, it's the industry that actually makes all the stuff that
yes.
we're using. So
yes.
What kind of strange thing is
yes.
is that?
I agree.
Did you find the company first, or was it just the algorithm, or was it just
yes.
a coincidence?
No, we actually did another retrospective study in 2020, and there we compared three commercial algorithms which were known to be good, but we didn't know how they perform individually on the same data set. So we did that study, it was published in JAMA Oncology, and then the algorithm that we are using now performed a lot better than the other two. So that's why we chose this algorithm.
Mm. No.
But I guess now there are more algorithms that perform very well. You have to validate.
Of course. And then you just mentioned it very briefly, but for the person who is not very well acquainted with our medical journals, there are a lot of medical journals, but the king or queen of them all is the Lancet.
Yes.
And there you are.
Yes.
You
yes.
tell me, how did that work?
Yes. It was a process, so to say. So actually, when it was published, we were really happy, of course, and it we had a lot of publicity. But we submitted it before Christmas last year. So I know the data and the facts for a long time. And it ended up with the Lancet Digital Health.
Wow. When did you start the study?
We started in April 2021, and we closed the study in June 2022. And then we had included 55,581 women. And we wanted it to be 55,555 women, but
of course.
It was not that, yes.
I would never consider myself a researcher, but I also have a PhD, and I know I tried to get 15 subjects, and that was hard enough, and you did all this, and it's a long process to make a study and then get it published, but you sent it for submission
yes,
in
yes.
2023,
and
now it's...
Yes, and then there's a long process with reviewers.
Yes, but what I was going to say is that in my world, this is super fast. I
yes.
mean, starting a study and now using it clinically in
yes.
2 years, never
that is,
heard of
yes,
almost.
Yes, that is fantastic to
yeah.
and very nice to go from research to implementation
of course.
In like half a year, because usually it takes around 17 years. But I must say, thanks to the company with the algorithm, they have been very good to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And Capio St. Aaron's Hospital has been flawless to work with.
Mm.
And I think it's also easier when the hospital is private and the organization is more flat.
Mm.
So we could decide this between fewer people than in other hospitals,
mm.
I think.
Okay.
So
that I was going to ask what the recipe is for making it so quick and still with the highest quality possible, because Lancet would not publish anything that's not. And even if they publish something they know will be used clinically, of course they need to know that it's right. So
yes.
I guess the reviewers must have had a lot
yes.
of questions.
Yes, there were
since
actually 5 reviewers, so I sent back 94 pages with comments. It was like a book.
Hmm. Oh, so you're really used to that process.
Yes, yeah. You have to be polite and correct.
Mm, polite and correct, and you succeeded, really, okay.
Yeah.
So then, tell me, what are the results of you implementing the AI? What did the study say, and how
yes.
are you using it now?
Yes. So in the study, we analyzed if we could replace one reader with AI in a double reading setting.
One person, one radiologist
yes.
with AI.
Yes, mm. because usually all mammograms are assessed by two different independent radiologists.
Mm.
And now we thought that maybe AI can be one of them, and we only use one human. So that was the question. And when we analyzed the results, we were not sure about how it will end up. But they were really good. So we found out if we have two human readers, they recalled around more than 1,600 women and found 250 cancer cases. So that was the baseline. Mm-hmm. And when we had AI plus one reader, they recalled less women and found more cancers, 261 cancers.
In less women?
Yes. Mm. So because we don't want to recall healthy women, it makes them really worried and takes time, costs money. Mm. But the most surprising result was AI only. If we would use AI only and no human, they found almost the same proportion of cancers, 248, but recalled half of the women, around 800 women. And that is fantastic, because then you worry only half of healthy women and you only take half of the unnecessary biopsies. And all these three groups also found the same proportion of the bad cancers. Mm. So maybe we will land there.
But did it miss any cancers that we know? If they recall less people, aren't there women sitting at home with the cancer?
It's like a balance. Mm. You can find more cancers in the high-risk women, and I can have use my work for more advanced diagnostics and find more cancers, and not assessing like healthy women.
And of course, if the AI can make mistakes, but the person also makes mistakes.
Yes.
So it's, of course, you have to...
It is like that in the screening.
So, you know, the fear that many people have that AI will take over and do everything that the human being is doing now, is that a reality, you think, that we could have just a computer that just goes through all the images and no one has to look at them?
We are not there yet. Mm. It might be that I only will analyze the images, but our work is so much more than analyzing images, because we are taking care of all anxious women, and we are doing the ultrasound, we are taking the biopsies, we are discussing together, we are discussing with other colleagues, and those tasks cannot AI do. Mm.
So actually replacing things that could be replaced so that the human power can be used for better things.
Exactly.
So it's a kind of task shifting more
shifting,
than taking away something.
Yes, so we will not be unemployed.
I guess not. You will still have to be at this hospital for some hours every day, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. During the whole research process, now it went quite fast in my opinion, but was it anything that you were surprised of that happened that you didn't expect, or something that was very tough during your years of studying?
When we started the study, my colleagues were a little bit reluctant, because they said, oh, Karin, do we have to do this now, like triple reading for all mammograms? We already have such a high workload, so I'm not sure if we can do it. But then I have to really pep them and say that, we must do it, we must try it. And then there was a very interesting process, because from being a little bit reluctant to be super interested was really fascinating, because the cases started to come when we found cancer cases and we didn't see anything with our eyes. So then we got more humble, and in the end of the study we didn't want to work without it.
So it actually saw things that you didn't see?
Yes, and then some
cases.
Yes. Mm. Because two humans are flagging almost the same kind of signs in the images. Mm. But AI is flagging other things than humans. So we have a chance to find other cancers.
Okay. Mm. And the company who is working with you, are they satisfied?
They are super satisfied. This study is very good for them, of course, but they have a good product. So,
And how is this work or the study compared with the rest of the world? Has it been done before, or what does it look like?
Our study was the first prospective clinical study ever worldwide.
And congratulations. Yes. Wow.
And our hospital is the first hospital implementing AI for screening.
In the world?
Yes.
Wow.
For population-based breast cancer screening. Mm.
So this raises so many topics, actually. The thing that you're saying, that first you're very reluctant and then you want to have it.
Yes.
Head of department or in any leadership, you really see that in people, that change is a little bit risky and you're a little bit afraid. And it doesn't actually, you can't actually say that I can see what's good, but because you have to try it first.
Yes.
And then you change.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Really. Wow. And so what has happened now? Do you have a lot more women or waiting lines or whatever because of this, that you have to do this together with one radiologist, or what has happened clinically?
Yes, so we implemented this it live in June.
June this year?
This year, yes. And then we worked during the summer, not dramatic at all when we implemented it because we were so used to the algorithm. So.
A short interjection here. Do you tell the women that an AI is also looking at the images? Or
Not actively, but if they ask, of course. Mm. And now there's been some publicity around it, so many women know it, and many women are calling us and saying, can I go do my screening at your place? Because I want that AI to assess my breasts.
So it's not the other way around, that I want a human to do this.
Not yet. Mm? Not yet. Mm.
And maybe they will understand that it's good to have the combination.
Yeah.
Sorry, you said that you started in June.
Yes. Mm. And then after summer, when all colleagues came back, in September, we realized that there were no queues left, because we've always been struggling with long queues in breast radiology. So we were surprised. We have released 50% of the time for other work, like making the queues shorter and do more advanced diagnostics. And it's still like that today. For example, I was checking.
No queue?
No queues.
And when was that the last time it happened?
I had never experienced that before. We have
really?
Always been dealing with like evenings, working on weekends.
So here you could say that AI is actually not a threat, but a blessing, that you don't need to work
I
as much.
I think it's a part of this change, actually. Mm. And before, we have always been dealing with screening, like on Friday afternoons. We are saying, okay, now there are like 1,000 examinations not being assessed. What should we do? Should we go here in the weekend? But now we're on zero after one day.
That must be very... And what do you do then? Do you do the more advanced things, or?
Yes, we are doing more clinical examinations and more advanced things.
Mm. Okay.
And since we have a high volume here at our hospital, 80,000 women yearly, it releases quite a proportion of time for doing other things.
Have other hospitals shown interest that they want to do this, or
yes.
is it more competition that they don't want to do it? Or
no, I think you have to work alongside AI in the future, and you have to be part of that team with AI and humans. And I know that both Karolinska and Södersjukhuset are interested in implementing AI, but they are not private hospitals, so I guess there are more meetings per decision.
I won't comment that, but I understand what you're saying. And I was actually reading today that our emergency department is implementing AI together with a company to find sepsis, blodförgiftning, find sepsis faster or better than the human.
So that is important.
Yeah,
they could be close to die.
Exactly. I mean, some people don't even get to the intensive care unit before they die because sepsis is so quick.
Yes.
But if we can find them through AI, and I guess they also, maybe I can make an interview with someone here.
Yes.
But AI is really coming quick. For the research part then, what is your next goal? Have you kind of, I'm done, or do you have another project in your
mind?
Yes,
I'm actually working with another project. I finalized an assessment yesterday. So we have 269 cancer cases in this study. So I will study them closer, and I will see if AI could find the cancers earlier. So I have a plan to send the women's earlier images to the algorithm and see if it
detects something.
Yes, if it will detect, because that would be fantastic.
Mm.
Then you get the diagnosis 2 years earlier, and early detection means better prognosis and less heavy treatment and so on.
Well, and and maybe if you, like you said in the beginning, if you have the hereditary signs that you have, you know, you're in your mother had cancer, maybe you should come earlier. I don't know.
Yes.
So, but the AI will know.
But and you can get some from this study in the future. We can analyze more things.
Wow. Okay.
Like interval cancers.
So if I would come back to you in like 10, 15 years, do you think that I will meet Karin, who is still clinically active, talking with patients, or are you a professor sitting at a desk and with a big breast cancer research? What kind of person do you think you are?
I think I will mainly be Karin speaking to patients, but a little part maybe with the computer.
Of course. Sometimes I ask my guests, what do you do to charge your batteries? I mean, you can't work all the time. What is your thing to, you know, regain your batteries or just, you know, enjoying life? What do you do?
Yes, I spend as much time as possible with my children, of course, like long distance running. So if the weather is not too bad, too cold, I really get energy from running.
So you hear out there, even if you have a lot of work to do, you need to use your brain a lot, do some physical exercise.
Yes.
That's very good for you.
And I can also say that I have my closest friends are my colleagues. So I really have been a good days at my work, and I think that's luxury.
Yeah, and we haven't actually been speaking about pain today, but as for the breast cancer and the department at this hospital, we have a very good cooperation where the pain treatment, if it's ever necessary, could be both on the oncology side, you know, when you have the treatments, or the surgery side. But it seems to be working very, very well, because we get the patients who are a little bit more complicated, but I must say that we have good results. I think we should also be able to someday use AI to find the patients who will get more pain, actually. So it's a very, very big field waiting out there. Yeah.
Yes.
Anything that we haven't been talking about that you would like to say? This has been so interesting.
No, I think we have talked
about everything.
Of the most important things.
And are there any new technical or clinical trends out in the world apart from AI when it comes to breast cancer that you know of, radiology, or the new imaging techniques, or I don't know anything about that world?
Yes, there are ongoing new projects. Now the one hot topic is contrast enhanced mammography. You can inject contrast when you do the mammography.
Okay.
So, yes, but AI.
And then you see better.
Yes, it's a little bit kind like an MRI examination, but a little bit easier and cheaper.
And would you see more if you used an MRI? If you don't think about the cost, if you would only use MRIs.
Yes. MRI is the most sensitive examination.
But the AI is done on. Not MRI scans then.
Our AI is analyzing mammograms.
Mammograms,
but you can use it on MRI too and ultrasound. So it's like an exploding area right now.
Wow.
And I'm actually going to the North America's Congress of Radiology presenting this study. And they have a section or a floor with only AI products. And it's a huge floor.
Will you be presenting, or?
Yes.
Well, we're very happy that you're representing us there.
Yes.
Wow.
I will have my Capri Sun Clarion sign.
Excellent. So, well, Karin, thank you so much. It has been very nice speaking to you, and what a start for a long period since my last episode. It's been very nice talking to you, and I will follow your work with great interest, because what you do is just marvelous for all the women out there. Thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting me. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you.